Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 2. Praise God. Everybody get to James chapter 2. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the Word of God, for therein is the power of God to change things. And when the Word of God gets ingested into our spirit, conceived in our heart, and spoken out of our mouth, it changes things. And it'll change things in your life. It'll change things in your circumstances. And even if there's no circumstances, it'll change things. It'll create, just like it says, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 11 right there? It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And things that were seen were made of things which not made of things which do what? Appear. So the things that we want to see are going to have to be created by things that don't appear. They're going to have to be the unseen realm. They're going to have to be things that are unseen, and we know that the spiritual is unseen. And so it's going to have to be done through faith and the love of God and the power of God and patience and perseverance. Hallelujah. I've seen, you know, I remember Pastor Tim Rogers shared this, you know, they said, well, what was your success, you know, being 18 to 20 years down in Mexico City? He said, perseverance. I just didn't give up. He said a lot of people just gave up on the mission field, and a lot of people, or most, give up after a few years. They just give up. And he said, I just didn't give up. So it wasn't that he was any better or any more anointed than anyone else. He just didn't give up. He persevered. Amen. So when God told him to go, he went and he stayed and stuck with it. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to do. When God gives us something to do, we do it and stick with it and don't give up. Amen. Well, let's look at verses 14, starting in verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, you know what? Let me start. I'm going to read this from the New Century Version tonight. It says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? Well, the answer is no. A brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. Verse 17, in the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God, good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. Isn't that interesting? I just saw that. Here the devils tremble with fear, and we have people that say they believe God and don't tremble with fear. Isn't that interesting? They do things and not tremble with fear, the fear of God. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Let's say that faith that does nothing is worth nothing. What does that mean? That means that you could know what to do and do nothing. That means you don't act. That means that faith, when faith comes, and we've been reading even the pool of Bethesda, we saw that when the angel came down at a certain season and troubled the water may have been was troubled, but healing, you could say it another way, healing was present, the power of God was present to heal, but it did no one any good until someone got down into the water. Somebody had to act. Otherwise, there was no fruit, there was no healing. And so, the same today, healing is present everywhere, all the time. See, that's something that we need to recognize. The scripture says God is, the Spirit of God is everywhere in every place, isn't he? Then if he's everywhere, then that means God is everywhere. That means healing is everywhere. It's present everywhere, all the time, 24/7. So that means I could have faith to receive, but unless I reach out and take it, the power of God, the healing power of God, is not activated or released. So sometimes people are what? What are people doing sometimes? Waiting for the water to be troubled. They're waiting for God to move. He already moved. Healing is present. Healing's present right now. So if you need healing in your body, all one has to do is say, I believe I receive it. How? By faith. So when faith is present, that's like when Peter perceived that the man was had faith to be healed. He said, stand upright. And the man did what? He leaped and he walked. So the power of God was present. He said he heard him preach. He heard him teach. So what happens here is that sometimes we're waiting for something to happen. It was Acts 14, and I said Peter, excuse me, I meant Paul. And he heard Paul, said the same, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed. So the man had faith to be healed, but he had to act. He had to do something. And so he took the command, or he moved at Paul's command to get up. And so since healing is present, faith comes by hearing. What does it say? It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And some translations say, hearing the word of the Christ. Or you could say, hearing the anointed word. So when one hears the anointed word or hears the word of Christ, faith comes. And when faith comes, faith is present, all one has to do is just reach out and take it. I heard Brother Hagin, you know, when you listen to enough of his tapes, he said one time when he was very young, this was after he had gotten up off the bed of sickness, he said, he got up one morning and his face was drooped. He must have maybe had a stroke. I don't know. But he said the whole side of his face was drooped. It was just drooped down like this, right? And he said, just like the woman with the issue of blood said, I'm going to go here and get my healing. If I just touch Jesus, I will be healed. And he said, listening on this tape, he said, I'm going to go down to this church and have this pastor pray. And when he prays, I'm going to receive my healing. And so he went down and he said, this pastor just prayed, nothing fiery or, you know, thus saith the Lord or any of this. Just prayed a simple prayer. He said, I take it. And everybody said, well, nothing changed. He said, I got my healing. I got it. He came down expecting to receive. It wasn't anything unusual that this pastor did or prayed. Simple prayer. And he said, I take it. It's mine. And he said, everybody said, your face is still drooped. Went the whole day with him. You know, nothing's changed. Your face, I got my healing. And he said he woke up in the morning, face straight, everything back to normal. See, but the point is, he took it and he kept saying, I got it. I got my healing. It wasn't, what do we always say? Faith is not a feeling. So sometimes people are waiting for somebody and, you know, they feel the move of God and everybody's jumping and shouting and all of this. That's good. And we're not saying that the power of God doesn't move in those settings and isn't real. But the power of God is present to heal all the time, everywhere. And all one needs to do is take it and receive it. And when they have it, if I gave you something, why would you say, I'm not sure if I got it? You got it. It's tangible. Healing's tangible. Faith is tangible. If I've got it, I got it. Amen. So let's say that again. Faith, real faith, does something, and real faith acts on what it believes. Now, what does that mean? If I act on what I believe, then I'm saying what I believe. Right? If there's something I believe, I'm expressing it. So let me continue. I read verse 17. Verse 18, a New Century Version. Someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God, good, but the demons believe too, and I read this, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Abraham, our ancestor, was made right with God by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So you see that Abraham's faith and the things he did work together. His faith was made perfect by what he did. This shows the full meaning of the scripture that says, Abraham believed God, and God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God. And Abraham was called God's friend. So you see that people are made right with God by what they do, not by faith only. Another example is Rahab, a prostitute who was made right with God by something she did. She welcomed the spies into her home and then helped them escape by a different road. Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we wanted to focus on that. We have on a few messages that we need not wait. There's a time for waiting, but things that have already been paid for, things that are already done, we don't need to wait for those things. What we do need to do is where it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So first and foremost, if I want to receive anything from God, I need to go to him. That's first. I need to go to him. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And secondly, what am I do after I find out what to do? Do it. And then after I do it, expect the results. So if you're not getting results, you know, turn over to Hebrews 11. Look at verse 29, Hebrews 11:29 for a second. Sometimes, you know, we asked, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we don't get results. It says here, Hebrews 11:29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground. The New Living says it was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Well, what happened? They didn't go to God. They didn't find out what they were supposed to do. They tried to do what the Israelites did, and they drowned. And so what God had told Pharaoh, what did he say, what did he tell him? He didn't tell him try to do the same thing the Israelites did, cross the Red Sea. He said, let them go. He said, let my people go. So they tried something they weren't instructed to do, and they got some bad results. So we need to first find out what does God want us to do, then do it. Now let's turn over and let's look at Numbers. And I want to look at something this evening, part of getting results, faith that gets results. I want us to take a look at Numbers and chapter 13. Let's look at the very beginning of this chapter, chapter 13 in Numbers. I'm going to read from the King James. And it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which what? I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And so you can continue down, and of course you can see here, Moses said some things which I don't believe the Lord told him to say. In verse 18, he said, see the land, what it is, the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. The Lord didn't tell him that. So, anyways, you can go down and read the rest of the story, but look at verse 32. And it said, and they brought up, who's they? Those that he sent in. And he said, they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Whoa. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so what did they do? They brought up an evil report. Let's think about something. What is a report made up of? Words. And so, what made that report evil? Their words were contradictory to what God said. He said, I give you the land. He didn't go into and tell them, you know, you're going to have this, and there's big folks in there, and there's giants in the land. He said, I give it to you. Go in and take it. And so they brought up an evil report. And so here's the thing. Are the words that we speak important? Yes. And I know you know that, but I want to just focus on this because this is what can cause faith to be productive and not productive. What can cause faith to work and not work? And so here's the other question. Did the words that they speak, did it alter the course of their lives?
Yes.
It certainly did. And so when you go down and look at chapter 14, and you look at verse 2, and it said, and all the children of Israel... They're still going at it here, right? Murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Wow. The New International says, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. So let's look at something. Let's see how God responded. Look at verse 26 in that chapter. It said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, see, so they spoke murmurings against Moses and Aaron, but who did he say they murmured against? God. They were the ones he placed in authority at that point. And so he said, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. So I think their words, their evil report, changed the direction of their lives. And it caused a problem for them, didn't it? They wandered around. He said, what did the Lord say for every day? What did he say over here? He said for verse 33, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until the carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye searched the land, the 40 days, each day for a year you shall bear your iniquities. Then, of course, he goes on and he says, you know, that the children shall be the ones that go in, your children shall be the ones that go into the promised land. So we don't want to find ourselves giving evil reports for things that God has spoken and said are ours, even though we may not see it or be experiencing it at this moment in time. And so you can see Caleb and Joshua, yeah, they had to wander around, as they say, wander around the desert with these jokers, but they didn't give an evil report, did they? And they went in and they took the land. So often, you know, I think about things that we experience here. There's things that you may experience and walk through in life that are not comfortable. And they may look like things aren't working out too well for you. But if God has said something to you, either in his word or to you specifically, the question is to you, will you give a good report or an evil report? And that's the question that we have to ask, that it doesn't matter what I'm experiencing, I'm seeking God first and not questioning how come. Why not? I'm looking for direction. Lord, do I need to change up? Do I need to... You said such and such. I believe you. You know, I believe that when we take God's word, just like Brother Hagin said, we're to take God's word. If he says I'm healed, then I'm healed. But be open for his direction. And so often, whether it's physical needs in our body or financial needs in our home or whatever the situations are, a lot of times we are trying to determine the way we should go. And we're determining, people go on one end of the extreme to the other. Some will totally trust the doctors and everything and not look to God for specific direction. And then some will go the other extreme and won't even go to a doctor, and won't even be open for the leading of the Lord. And that's what Brother Hagin always used to say. He said, teach the word, and give room and space for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Follow the Word of God, but be open for His leadings. Does that make sense? So it doesn't mean that we don't seek counsel in things, but be open for the counselor to lead you and guide you. He knows all things. And so when he says here that they spoke an evil report, it was because they spoke against what God said. So let's look a moment at 1 Peter for a minute here. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 10. I'll wait till you get there. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. How many want to see good days? We all do. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let me read for some other translations. The Message translation says, whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil, cultivate good, run after peace for all you're worth. This is the Jordan translation. It says, he should put the brakes on badness and give throttle to goodness. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Turn off the bad, turn on the good, right? So our words that come out of our mouth are vital. They're vital in framing our world. Turn over a second to Acts. Let's go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 4. This is the story about Ananias and Sapphira. And of course, what did they do? They released words, didn't they? They spoke some words, and it got them in trouble. Got them dead. So it changed, the words they spoke changed the course of their life. But look at verse 4. It says, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing? Where? So they conceived this where? In their heart. So when we have words of faith, where are they conceived? In your heart, and they're spoken out of your mouth. So they conceived something in their heart that was not good. It was evil. And then they spoke it. And it was a lie. And so it got them in trouble, got them killed. And of course, let me read this. This is, you don't have to turn there. John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So in other words, if his words do what? Abide in you, and then you do what? And his words abide, you ask, and he said he'll do it. So words are more for power than they are for communication. Words are more for power than communication. Let's turn over to Proverbs 4 for a second. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. We know this; these are familiar scripture. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, come are the issues of life. It says, for out of it are the issues of life, or the the issues of life come out of your heart. I like the complete Jewish Bible. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. What does that mean? It means issues. If you look it up, it means extremities or ends. It means borders. So issues, what comes out of our heart, we set the boundaries in our life with words that we speak. This is how faith gets results. I know we're just sharing things you may know, but we're looking at how does faith get results. We speak words, not how we feel. I could feel like I'm going down backwards, but I'm going to speak what God's word says. I'm going to say it, not how I feel, not what my mind is thinking, but, and I'm going to qualify that, is I'm open for the Holy Spirit, and I'm still learning. I'll share something recent. You know, where as many times as you have victories, there's still times we miss it. How many are perfect yet? Anybody still miss it? Yeah, we're missing it. It's getting less and less, though, I'll tell you that, because every time a thought comes, I told Pastor Greg recently, I said, Pastor Greg, I'm calling you this. The other day, I just called him. I was home. I'm on vacation. Thought came. He's in the office working. And a thought comes, and I said, I'm not going to bother him with that. I said, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I said, thought came. I call him. He said, oh, man, I just got off the phone with so-and-so, and this person I was thinking about. I said, did you ask him this? Oh, no, I forgot. Thanks. That's what I'm talking about. So it could have seemed very inconsequential, but I'm getting past this point of, you know, when a thought comes, I'm calling somebody or I'm texting them because it could make a difference. It can make a difference. Well, I'll give you one recently. I don't like to highlight, but it helps me because it reminds me of some things. Last Friday, I was up doing, went up to Pennsylvania for prayer service. And so anyways, I'm on my way up, and I decided, okay, you know what? Let me stop into Weiss. Let me pick up some fruit, and we'll have a little snack, so forth, right? I'm walking in the door. I go to the counter there where they have all the fruit, and I'm picking stuff. The thought comes, pick up cookies. Cookies, right? And I said, oh, no. I said, Minister Joe always brings the cookies. I started to reason it away. I did. I said, oh, no, Joe always picks up the cookies. I'm just going to get the fruit. I didn't buy the cookies. You know where this story's going. You know where this story's going. He didn't bring the cookies. So I get there, and Deacon Susie was there, and I come downstairs, and I said, oh, there's fruit in the refrigerator. She said, I said, where's Joe? He said, oh, I didn't bring cookies. I just sent him to the store. Ah, cookies. But you see how much God cares, and like he said, it's just 10 minutes down the road to pick something up and back, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what if he went and something bad happened? I wouldn't have felt too good about it. You understand my point? So when thoughts come, follow the thoughts. And what I'm learning is that when thoughts come, sometimes it's so easy to miss it because we can think, well, that's me. You start to rationalize. You think, you know, I know, right? You don't know nothing. You've been trying to figure it out your whole life, and you're still trying to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Let's just learn how to, when a thought comes, just follow the thoughts. Because here's the reason why. The more we do, there's going to come a time where your life is going to depend on it. Your life will depend on it. And, you know, I've shared it before. I've shared it, what was it, 2 years ago. I was getting this prompting, don't go up to Pennsylvania. And I said, no, I got to go, And I was tired. But I didn't feel tired going up. But at 1:30 in the morning coming back, I was tired. And I'm hanging on. Window open, window closed. And it's cool out, so I'm letting the cold air. I got down here to Mahwah. I fell asleep behind the wheel, and I'm looking at the bumper of a car, and that car was a police car. It was not pretty. I turned just like this. My eyes open. I went, 1, 2, 3, turn. I would have hit him. So follow the Holy Ghost. When he prompts you to do something, obey. He spared my life. And so it's just these little things, these little promptings that come. Don't say, nah. No, just obey. Obey. So our words, and of course, the good news, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's what I'm talking about. Be careful how you think. You can think away a Holy Ghost leading and rationalize it away, and it can shape the rest of your life, good or bad. The New Century, it says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. So these things, let's turn over, we're in Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs 18. And familiar verse, let's look at verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are they in the power of? Your tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The Good News Translation says, what you say can pervert, can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. So what we say, we're going to have to accept the consequences of what we say. The New Living Translation, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. It's not looking at anybody. The Moffat Translation says, death and life are determined by the tongue. The Knox, I like this, the Knox Translation, of death and life, the tongue holds the keys. The Message Translation, it says, words kill, words give life. They are either poison or fruit, you choose. And the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, the tongue has power over life and death. Those who indulge it must eat its fruit. Meaning, we're either going to eat death or life. If we're constantly, or let me say it another way, if you say so, it will be so. If you say so, it will be so. What do I mean? If you say so in faith, you know, you keep saying something in faith, it will come to pass. And a lot of times we don't see the significance of it. And sometimes we need to check up on what we're saying. What kind of words are we speaking? You know, I'm absolutely convinced, and I will never say something contrary to what God has spoken to this ministry. Over this ministry, about this ministry, I'm going to say what he said. And, you know, Pastor Clinton, before they started this ministry, the Lord said the people will come and the money will come. And he didn't say, only in a certain season. He didn't say that. He didn't say it was only when he was alive. He said the people will come and the money will come. And when I hear words like Dr. Price, who I respect at the time, it was Dr. Price, now it's Apostle Price, I respect as a man of God, prompted that said, the people I'm sending to this church won't fit in here, and began to talk about how you're not going to stay in this church. If you decide to stay, I won't be in it. Well, I want to be in what he's in. So I'm saying the people that are coming can't fit here. You've got another place, and he's showing us where. So my confession is that the Sears building, not because he showed that. The Sears building is the first building that we're going to take. That's my confession. And God knows what he's doing. Sears is 1 foot out of bankruptcy. He knows what he's doing. He didn't say Macy's. He didn't say JCPenney's. He didn't say Kmart. He said Sears. And Sears is right next door. And that's the building. And so that's the way it is. And so what we're to do in the meantime, God said the spiritual seed that's been sown by this ministry, there's a harvest due. He said, call the people in. He said the same thing. The financial seeds that have been planted by this ministry, there's a harvest due. Call the money in to this ministry. Guess what? Just like the Israelites, if you don't call it in, it won't come in. God responds to your report, to your words. And so, just like those that were of the evil report, they had to wander around. I don't want to wander. I ain't wandering around nowhere. We're going to march in step with God. And so for me, our words, this is what Proverbs 21:23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. And a message, watch your words, hold your tongue, you'll save yourself a lot of grief. So when we feel like saying something because it doesn't look like it's happening, we need to say what he said and stick with it. And be open, as I said, be open for his direction and his leading. What does that mean? That means if he said such and such to you, don't try to figure out how it's all going to come to pass. That's where we need his wisdom on how to take the next step. We have to take steps. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when God says, go over here, instead of you trying to figure out, well, I gotta go this way. I say it this way, shut up and just go to him and ask, Lord, how do I get over there? How do you want me to go? And wait for his direction. If it's clear you're to take a step this way, take that step. He'll show you the rest. He knows. And so that's where we should be. And this is how you get results. We're to speak life-filled words and not death-filled words. Get his direction. Follow his direction. And follow it. Matthew 12 and verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 36, I'm jumping down. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof. in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The Good News Translation says, you can be sure that on the judgment day, you will have to give an account of every useless word you've ever spoken. Or in the Amplified, it talks about every idle, inoperative, non-working word. So the words that we speak need to be operative. They need to what? What does that mean? They need to bear fruit. And so when we speak, let's make sure that they're full of faith. And I'll say it another way. If you're in, let's say this, frustration is not faith. Let me say it another way. If you're in frustration, you're not in faith. If you're in worry, you're not in faith. If you're worrying about something, let me say it another way. If you are worrying about anything, you're not in faith. If you're frustrated about something, anything, you're not in faith. Why? Faith is confident. So if faith is, if you're frustrated, you're not in faith. You're not confident. You're frustrated over something. You're wringing your hands. You're frustrated over something. That's not faith. And so sometimes, and usually if you meditate on something frustrating long enough, out come the frustrating words. I'm frustrated about this. I'm ticked off about this. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Out come the words. That's not faith-filled words. Those would be considered idle words, inoperative words. And so we're all learning to get control of the thoughts and things that cause us to worry, things that cause us to be frustrated about things. We're to what? Walk by frustration? Faith. We're not to walk by worry. We're not to walk by frustration. Those are things that you see that cause you, or you hear something, you see something, you experience something. That's not faith. So something you saw, something you heard caused worry or frustration. So you're walking by sight and not by faith. Hey, we're all learning. We're all growing. So things we see, we need to get them in check and say, okay, what does God say about this? What is he saying about this? Things we hear causing us frustration about something every day. That's not faith. Faith pleases God. Faith is something that we're going to have to go to him and say, God, how do I handle this? If you can't find it in his word, there's something, some fundamental in his word that we can follow. We're to be at peace with all men. Now that's sometimes, that's for a lot of us, is a work in progress. You understand what I mean by that? And so for us, if we're going to get results with anything, we're going to have to, just like I was sharing a couple Sundays ago, if you look at just taking 1 Corinthians 13, faith endures long, that's faith acted upon. But I can't do it by myself. I can't love the God kind of love. It's in me. It's in you. But love is activated by what? Faith. Faith acted upon causes the love of God to be working in you. And so the same thing, when I say I'm going to operate in love, and operate and work and walk in love towards an individual, it goes beyond just speaking. What did Pastor Clinton's song say? Love is not a feeling, but an action, isn't it? So love, just saying, I love you, brother, and then you act a different way, that wasn't love. That was just words. That was dead faith. So faith that acts is something that's not just words. But our words, when they're in faith, I'm going to determine to do something, then the power of God is activated. And that power does what? Enables me to do something. Walk in love, walk in peace, walk in joy, be at peace over something. And so that's how we're going to do that. We're going to have to release words of faith. Our words are going to have to be released in areas of our life, in areas that we're not seeing something. Or you're at a, how do I want to call this? You feel like you're in a deficit. In other words, you feel like, I can't do this. How many times have anybody heard this? I know I did more times than I realized. I'd hear Pastor Clinton say from the pulpit, Lord, if you don't help me today, this message is going to be a big fat bomb or a flop. Anybody ever hear him say that? I heard him say it a whole lot of times. What does that mean? He's asking God for his assistance to think through him, to speak through him. So he does what? He asks for his assistance and then he takes a step. So the same thing, when you don't feel like you're qualified to do something, you don't feel like you have the ability to do something, and yet you're being asked to do something, instead of you giving an evil report and saying, what? I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm too dumb to do this. I'm not smart enough to do this. That's an evil report. Because if God has put you in a place to do something, then you need to say, Lord, in the natural, it looks this way. But I believe that you're thinking through me. I believe you've qualified me. I believe that you're giving me your ability and your anointing to think through me and do this job. And a lot of times we keep looking at ourselves rather than the one who lives on the inside of us. I don't know how many times I'm calling on the Lord, asking for his assistance to think, reveal, show, give understanding, bring people that can come and help. Right? This is how you're going to make it. You don't have the natural ability. If you have natural abilities, they'll get you so far. They will get you somewhere. But they're not going to get you to the place that God designed. That's going to take his supernatural ability to do. Amen? And it's going to come by you speaking words of faith that are released. And those words in faith will begin to cause him to begin to operate and move in your life. You may want to see some things in your family, in your marriage, in your job, whatever it is. You're going to have to start speaking not what you see, not what you experience, but you're going to have to speak things not seen. So if you want something, that's what we always say, what are the things that you don't see? Well, that's easy. Folks can rattle off a list they don't see. Well, what is that? My wish list. Oh, okay. That's your faith list. That's your faith list. Begin to speak it. Call it into existence. Amen. Glory to God.